Constructing your life is about much more than just building a bank account. Each week, join real estate entrepreneur and mindset coach Austin Linney as he interviews guests who are constructing their dream lives and impacting the world around them on a daily basis. If you're an entrepreneur or wanting to start a business, or you just want to hear motivating stories of how others have overcome the odds, you are in the right place. And now for your host, Austin Linney.
Guys, welcome back to Construct Your Life. This is Austin Linney here. I have the honor of having Mr. Yanni Weiss here. How are you doing, my sir?
I am doing really well. Thanks so much, Austin. It's a pleasure.
You got it, man. I am super honored and super excited to have this interview. You know, one of the things I want to compliment you on is the amount of value you give within LinkedIn, and the amount of people that I've met just from your Sunday post is amazing. And you know, we're going to talk about what you do in cost segregation, but man, I'm so intrigued about kind of your view on social media and so many things like that. So what I like to do with my guests is let them tell the story where they want to start. And that way we can get the ball rolling and go from there.
Sure. Listen, first of all, thanks so much for having me on here. And I love the Sunday, the self promo stuff that I do on Sunday. It's a lot of fun. I get to meet a tremendous amount of people through that as well, which, you know, adds a lot of value to me. But to see other people actually do business, you know, connect with new people through that. I did a podcast one before where just like, you know, if you're a podcaster, comment below. If you're looking to be a guest, like comment below, and just, you know, it's connecting hundreds of people. I think it's incredible. One of the things that I love the most about having a big network is being able to use it to give back. And that's really what it's all about. How to pay it forward, give it back, however you want to call it. So I enjoy that. But I'll take it any direction you want to go, Austin.
No, I love that. And it's empowered me inside my Facebook group to do that on Sunday. Like, so I almost took it for even a different context. What is something, somebody, or something that's helped you, right? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to post it. But I was like, you know what? This is something that helped me. And I posted it and somebody goes, I've been trying to find this for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, that was it right there.
That's it. That's awesome.
Yeah. The thought process behind that, guys, if you thought about posting, just post it.
That's right.
Yeah. So how did you get started in real estate and kind of your backstory?
You know, real estate was something I kind of stumbled upon about 5 years ago. I was a teacher for many years, and that was really my life's passion, is just like giving back. I had a nonprofit organization. I was a teacher, a big family, and just kind of living life, enjoying what I was doing. But, you know, it came a certain point that a teacher's salary and does not pay the bills, you know, as soon as a family grows. And I was just interested and open to opportunities. And that's really where it came from. I reached out to some friends, people that I'd known for many years, and just like, hey, listen, guys, I'm looking for some opportunities. What do you suggest? And I just kind of fell upon me, the divine providence, as I like to call it, as just meeting a friend in a parking lot somewhere. You know, I was coming out of a place, he was going in, and we parked next to each other. It was like, whoa, hey, what are you doing here? I haven't seen you in a long time. Caught up. He was doing commercial mortgages for many years. And I was like, oh, what are you up to? He's like, you should come work with me. Like, I'll just teach you the ropes of commercial real estate. Just sit with me in my office. I was like, okay. Sure. And so I ended up doing that and literally just learned from him, who, you know, been skilled at doing this for years. I got like a free training just sitting with him in his office for, you know, a number of months. And it was incredible because I learned all the ins and outs of commercial real estate, ended up doing some fix and flips together with him, ended up doing, getting my broker's license, just trying to get the feel of all different aspects of real estate, because I saw it was opening up so many doors. And with that, literally led me to where I am now, which is, you know, this cost segregation company, which is a long story into of itself, but that's helped me to really grow this community and this network, which is helping me to, you know, spur my own, you know, multifamily investing company. So that's exciting.
That. And we're going to unpack cost segregation because, I would say that 10%, maybe 15%, 20% of people actually know what it means.
100%.
But I, you know, ultimately what I get more excited about is the aspects of who you are away from the cost segregation. And I'm learning from your post, right? I thought one of the most, and I tagged my students in it. When you handled that guy the other day, when you told him the price and he was very rude to you, I thought that was the most teachable post I've ever seen. You know, kind of walk us through there, like how, you know, any new investor, anybody dealing, agent, investor, dealing with somebody who comes at you with tech, like, you know, walk us through how you handled that guy. I thought that was the most amazing teachable moment, right? Because understanding that maybe they're triggered, right?
Exactly. You never know what someone else is going through on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things that I learned from sales in general. But personally, I don't really enjoy cold calling, partially because of that story. You know, just a little context, I called a CFO at a very large corporation, and the guy basically berated me over the phone and called me a liar and started calling me names. I realized very clearly that, you know, I'd caught this guy at a wrong time. Something was up with him. It's not me. Like, there was nothing, that was so obvious. You know, when you get hung up on a cold call, it's very easy to think, okay, maybe the pitch wasn't good, or maybe I wasn't fast enough to tell. And there's all kinds of training, you know, sales training videos, but this was like very clear. And so I think that's a lot of, you know, emotional intelligence to understand who you're talking to, but also understand that you have no idea who this person is and what they're going through. And so I just responded with a very gentle, kind of kind email follow-up, which was like apologizing, saying that I was at fault, you know, saying, I apologize, you know, for reaching out and doing, you know, quoting you, you weren't interested anyways, but just in case, right, here's what, you know, I have to say about that. And it turned out he ended up forwarding it to the right person. And so that's another thing when it comes to sales and cold calling, you may not even be calling the right person. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you're not, you know, unless your research has been done, you know, to the T, and you know exactly who the person is and what they're, oftentimes you call a big corporation, a big company, oftentimes there are, you know, kind of sub roles, junior roles, and everyone has their own tasks to deal with, and you may be barking up the wrong tree in the first place. So never be turned off when someone shoots you down like that.
No, I love it. I read the book. So, oddly enough, I have themes for the year. And before I knew COVID happened, my theme was emotional stability. Little did I know that 2020 had some other things in store. But I read a book called Five Levels of Attachment by Don Miguel Ruiz. And man, it was really eye-opening to see the way that we as people get triggered through understanding that we're taking on this person's moment or where they are. And ultimately, like you're saying, it might not even be the right person. I mean, I think it's very interesting. And so when you went from commercial lending to get into call segregation, which is kind of an interesting profession, you know, what's the story behind that? And then what intrigued you about getting into this asset or this vehicle?
When I first learned about cost segregation, and like you said, probably, I don't know, 80% of people listening to this probably never heard of it before. Unless they heard of me before, whatever, from other contexts. But if you'd never heard, and that's what I found. What I did was, since I had been involved in the real estate industry for a couple of years, a few years already, I started just reaching out to everyone that I knew. I was just asking them, hey, you guys heard of this thing called cost segregation? It's a great way to save a lot of money, your income tax, a great tool. It was very clear distinction. Opposite ends of the spectrum answers. It was either, yes, I've been using this for years. It's an awesome solution, strategy. I've been doing this for years. And that usually came from those people that had been in the commercial real estate industry for many years, were savvy, you know, owned a lot of properties, et cetera. That was one group. The other group, and this was, like I said, it was a dichotomy. It was either one or the other. The other group was, I've never heard of it. There was no middle ground. Like, yeah, I've heard of it. I discussed it with my CPA. It wasn't for me. You know, those kind of things. It was just like, you either knew about it and you said it was like the best thing, no brainer, or you never heard of it. And because such a large majority of the responses were from the latter category, people that had never heard of it, I was like, okay, there's something wrong here. Those people who know about it, they think it's the best thing since sliced bread. And those, and but yet there's such a huge vast majority of those people who own real estate and invest in real estate and still don't know about it. Something needs to be done here. And I found like I used my teaching background just to say, okay, this is how I'm going to approach it. I'm going to try to just spread the word. I'm going to start talking to people and teaching people and just getting on webinars and doing podcasts like this. And when you find something that is such a little known tool that can be so beneficial, the best way to help people is really just to get as many people to know about it as possible. And then when you become a teacher in a sale, and this really sale, you know, rings true for lots of people in the sales, whatever you're selling, right? Any business whatsoever, because every business is in sales in one way or another. When you approach it that I'm going to teach people about this, I'm going to educate people about this, then you are now the go-to person for that. Like people see you as, oh, you taught me about it. You're the one who knows the most about it. You're the expert. Here's my thought. You know, you're the one that I'm going to go to.
No, I love that. And I have a friend out of Nashville who's a developer, and he realized that he was wasting so much of his time going to weird places around town that he only did deals in a 10-mile radius. And he circumvented, became the East Nashville guy, and he doesn't even leave his house.
That's incredible. And that's exactly the thing. If you become that known for that one thing, then you can excel beyond imagination what, you know, you're trying to just, you know, approach it from a different angle.
And I just talked to my buddy who's a capital commercial broker, raises money for commercial assets. And he said, I'm not selling them a dream. I'm educating them on the actual investment. And I thought that was a very poignant part. And you just hit it on the head too. Education of said vehicle is what we're looking to do. And then through that, they gain, they connect with you. And then that's when they're investing in the deal.
Yeah. Incredible. It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. Cause you're not, people get so concerned, like, how do you raise money for a deal? Or how do you, like, you teach them, like, hey, you put your money here, it does this, and so on and so on. They're like, hey, man, now I understand. Let's do it. And so for the people that don't know, because we're still talking about a subject that might know, give me the most basic breakdown of what cause segregation is. I know you get this every podcast, but I want
but I've honed it down. So okay. At least I hope. You'll tell me if you think this is the most basic. Essentially, it's a weird name that the IRS gave for an incredible income tax deduction. Okay? Essentially, it's a strategy that allows you to take the tax depreciation deductions at a faster rate than you would normally do so. So when you buy a commercial property, any property, it doesn't necessarily, it could be residential, as long as it's not your personal residence. When you buy that property, the government incentivizes you by giving you a tax deduction called depreciation, which essentially says you take that purchase price and now you can depreciate, you can take a tax deduction right off of the entire cost over a 27 and a half year period or a 39 year period for commercial properties. You can, with cost segregation, reallocate certain assets within a property that depreciate faster. So we're segregating that cost into different buckets, so to speak. And now I can take those tax deductions at a much faster rate. Essentially, it's a cash flow strategy. And that's what it is.
So my question, and I guess I haven't asked it to the right person yet, and I've been thinking about it. Would this be on an asset that on surface you're planning to sell within a 5 to 10 year period? So you're taking the advantages early. When that person, this is a two-part question, when that person buys said property from you, do they have to then start the clock over again?
So it's an incredible question. The cost segregation is on the owner, not the property.
Okay.
Which is an incredible thing. And that's part of the reason why, depreciation, it sounds like a negative thing, right? It sounds like the building's going down in value. Mm-hmm. But essentially the depreciation deduction, which is what we're talking about here, is really just a borrowed term. Mm-hmm. It's a borrowed term because it's not intrinsic to the actual depreciation of the building. It's more based on you, the owner. You buy this, your schedule starts over the day you buy it. And it's based on your purchase price, not the intrinsic value of the property.
And ultimately what I found, right, and you talk to high level investors, right? I was listening to a call the other day, and there's two schools of thought, and I love both schools of thought. Get in there and make taxes or depreciation be the issue. Like, be making so much money that you have to do these things. But then there's the other side, which is the new investor that drives me crazy, that hasn't even bought a property, and they're already talking about taxes and LLCs. And so let's make the problem that you have so much money that you need to use the cost segregation, right? Yeah, not absolutely. The reason to not get started.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that was a great explanation, but I'm more interested because I know you could do classes on that, and you do classes on that. And it, guys, if you want to follow somebody that gives value in buckets, he's the man to follow. So make sure you hunt him down. But what I'm more intrigued about is your view on social media and kind of, you know, networking and getting out there. And because a lot of my audience, I've done the data, is younger, newer investors. So I'm interested to, you know, I feel like you're on Facebook, but I feel like most of your basis is LinkedIn. And so you've kind of found your home. Am I correct?
Yeah, interesting enough, I really only joined Facebook at a much later stage, but you're absolutely right. I started with social media on LinkedIn. And specifically, the reason why I did that was because, well, I kind of stumbled upon LinkedIn, just to be in all honesty. It was not a strategic maneuver that I'm going to go and now use LinkedIn. It was really, I stumbled upon it and saw other people creating content. And it was at the time when LinkedIn, about 3 years ago, turned over to be like a real content creating platform and social networking, as opposed to just like a job posting board. And so I came in kind of right at the right time and saw other people creating content. I was like, okay, I can do this too. I can create content. I can make videos. I can make posts, etc. And what I like about LinkedIn more than Facebook in general and other social media is because it's more professional in general. There's exceptions. And obviously you can get caught up in anything anywhere. And there's politics and all kinds of other stuff that's not appropriate. But again, you can kind of contain that and you can focus when using that. And what I found is all professionals in the world, or especially in the United States, okay, let's focus there, are on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. That means they have a professional profile, and it's really just like a free business website, basically. If you make your profile professional looking and have contact information and have a lot about who you are, what you do, how you can help, it's basically like your own private website, and you can network with other people. So there's a lot of things going together all at once that really made it to be very attractive. Number one, it was a professional, kind of more like a businessing networking event type thing, as opposed to Facebook, where there's a lot of distractions, a lot of more kind of laid back, more like going hanging out with your friends. And, you know, I was approaching from a business perspective. I think you utilize that. Facebook is still great. I'm using that now. Instagram, I got on that recently as well. And it's more about just kind of reaching new audiences, but I'm still using the same brand, still using the same, strategies.
I think what's interesting, and because I love psychology and love to study people, I don't think people pay enough attention to studying the genesis behind said platform, right? Like, dude, I'm not like, I do just for jokes. I do a funny, he wears a wife beater and a mullet, and he's a fanny pack salesman from the 80s that's thinking about getting into real estate because all these kids are making money. Yeah. I would never post that guy on LinkedIn. It's not appropriate, but on Instagram and Facebook, it works. Right. But I know what people, you know what I'm saying? And so like, you have to kind of understand, but here's an interesting thing. I have a lot of friends that are heavy marketers, had them on the podcast. I've been only on LinkedIn the last like 4 months, and they said, Austin, you got to do it. Like, even if it's just the same stuff you're posting on Facebook, you got to do it. I went to a meetup at Jake and Gino event in August. I had 6 people walk up to me and they said, I saw your video on LinkedIn.
That's awesome.
They didn't say they saw it on Facebook or Instagram. And that's when I perked up and was like, oh, okay, it matters, right? It's a business platform for business people. This matters because it cuts through a lot of the BS that's on the other platforms.
Absolutely. 100%. And I get that a lot also when I go to these networking events, you know, these industry multifamily events, stuff like that. I get people coming up to me all the time. And, all, you know, granted, I look different than a lot of people. So I stand out anyways, but it's much easier for people to spot me. But what was incredible was just how many people came up to me and were just like, number one, oh, it's great to finally meet you in person. But number two, again, because I had already established like that presence and that relationship. But number two was what was most incredible was people were saying like, I feel like I already know you, right? And like introducing them to their friends, like, oh, this is Yona, you know, he's the guy. And like, I've never spoken to this person, you know, in my life. But at the same time, they know me because of that content creation that's happening on a daily basis. You're getting in the minds of people. You're getting in front of people. They're remembering you. And they're, if they're watching and they're continually engaging with your content, that means they like you, right? And so that's already a great step in the right direction to do business, because like is the first, you know, knowing you, liking you, trusting you. That's, those things happen over time.
And I have this debate because I put out a lot of content and I'd love to hear your opinion on it. I think what you post, especially on LinkedIn, matters. I think the content matters. But I also think that there's another element of consistency that's more important. Like there's no chance anybody's going to be able, there's a million podcasts. There's no chance they're going to be able to listen to everyone's, but I have some that do, and I have some that catch on and maybe they'll listen to 20 in a row. But what I get commented on is the consistency. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you view social media and posting and stuff. Is it all about like recording 7 videos and trashing? Like I'm a one take wonder. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how I roll. But getting it done and moving on is kind of the way I operate.
Yeah, getting it done, moving on. You know what? I honestly believe the most important thing when it comes to social media is a few things. The consistency is definitely up there. Okay. Consistency posting, whether it's every single day or whether it's a few times a week, but it has to be consistent because again, it's about building those relationships and people gonna start get to know you only if you're consistent with it. If you're that guy that they saw once like 6 months ago, they're not gonna remember you. If they see you every single day, that's going to be memorable. But the most important thing I would say is, it's really twofold. Number one is kind of something that you mentioned earlier. There are, each platform is different, not only because of the type of content and the type of viewers or people that are engaged on each respective platform, but the actual mechanics of the posting. Certain things work better on different platforms for whatever it is. So really you need to take time to observe, take time on each platform to observe other people doing, you know, and being successful, watching who's getting the engagement. How are they doing that? Why are they doing, you know, what strategies are they using? How is that working? What doesn't work? And spend time observing. And you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, before you jump in, but continuously do so. I do this all the time. I'm constantly like watching other people who are successful and kind of tailoring and incorporating different aspects into and changing things up, you know, changing those things. I'm going to test this. I'm going to experiment here. Is this going to work? Is it not? So that's one really, really
important thing, man. That's what I do. I don't watch the content. I watch the comments.
Well, that's interesting. So that's true too. You can tell a lot from the comments. You can also tell like if they are automated or kind of robots, right? And there's a lot of that out there.
I've never knew that Forex trading was the biggest thing on the planet.
Well, you get that a lot on Instagram. I've seen that, but on LinkedIn, you don't get that. But what you do get is just like one word, and there are bots on Instagram, on LinkedIn also. They're just like one word, like great, or awesome, or this is awesome, or great. Yeah. Just like, you see like a lot of those.
You know what they didn't know is that 3 words actually gives you the algorithm. Ooh, they didn't know that.
Oh.
So, you know, they don't even have their bot working right. You know, so it's like, and ultimately, like, I think what you and I live by is regardless of what you're posting, regardless of how much you're posting, as long as you're posting you, as long as you're being you, then the rest of it doesn't matter, right?
Exactly. It's what's going to shine through. Again, it's all about, and this is really the other thing I want to say, is that it's really all about relationships. This is a way, and social media is a way to scale relationships, right? Because number one, you can't possibly be talking to, you know, 100 different people at once in any given way. But with social media, you can, right? You can actually be talking to hundreds of people or thousands of people all at once and engaging with them. And you can really be having separate conversations all happening at once. And again, it's, there's that real kind of, especially if you're doing video and you're being authentic and you're constantly there, people get to know you over time. And like I said, that was what surprised me at these conferences was I feel like I already know you, right? And I get someone call me up on the phone, literally never spoken to the guy on the phone before. Never. Okay. We had, you know, been connected on LinkedIn, commenting and et cetera, back and forth a lot of times. No, I apologize. I called him up once a couple years ago. About cost segregation, didn't work out, but we continued this kind of banter. Calls me up. He's got me on a conference call with like his partners. And he's like, this is Yonah. I really like him. I trust him. You know, he's the guy and this and that. You don't get that, you know, from anywhere else. I mean, that's really incredible. I mean, except for in person, actually getting to know people. So I think that's really the most important is focus on those relationships.
What did it for me was that Jake and Gino event, and the podcast is like 6 months old. And now, granted, I'm a weird cat. I've known my podcast producer for a long time. We used to work in the music business together. He was a bass player for Aaron Lewis of Stained. Like, you know, he knows me very well. He's very the opposite of me, very analytical, very quiet. He said, don't you dare look at the numbers. He goes, because you're not like it just. So I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. I get comments. That's how I know. But I went to the event and they were like from San Diego, New York and around. And he was like, hey, you're Austin. Like, we love your podcast. And I was like, I came home to my girlfriend. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm like, I don't even know these cats. Like, that's when it made me realize how powerful these medians are. And so many people want to talk down on it, or they want to do this. Use properly. Is there a better way to scale a business? I don't think there is.
It's so necessary this day and age. Of course, it has to be coupled with, you know, everything else and, you know, everything else you're doing to create a business and to have a operating business functioning, obviously. But in terms of marketing, I mean, first of all, it's besides for the time you're putting into it, it's free, right? Yeah. We're not talking about Facebook ads. We're not talking about LinkedIn ads here where you're actually paying money to get in front of people. We're talking about just original, right? Content, organic reach. That's it. It's incredible.
So I'd be interested because we've never had this conversation. I don't know how you think on this topic, but I am under the impression, at least maybe because I'm a mindset coach and I know mine was so bad for so long, but where do you sit on like mindset and kind of getting yourself like, you know, a lot of what you do, there's a lot of podcasts, there's a lot of things. So, you know, walk us through like, how you view personal development and mindset and your thoughts on kind of that arena, which I love to talk about.
For me, the biggest thing in mindset is how can I help? How can I help other people? Okay. So when I go into something, I think about a few different things, but one of those things I think of all the time is how can I help other people? What can I do here that is going to literally help people. And so when you see that with a lot of my posting, a lot of my content is not about me, because that will come across, that will come about. It's really about who's watching, like how can this add most value, or how can this be helpful to those who are viewing it? I also want to, you know, I'm a very religious person. It doesn't necessarily come across blatantly outward, openly a lot of times. I mean, obviously my appearance, but my actual mindset is all about, you know, God and godliness, and how can I emulate my creator? And so how can I be compassionate? How can I help others? How can I do my best? And so that's really where my mindset is at. How can I be a light, you know, to others? So those are a couple of things that really drive my mindset.
Because I would imagine that not every day you love doing everything you got to do, but there's a business to run. But because the draw and the need is so much greater than yourself, it allows you to step outside of whatever the ego or the tiredness gets involved, because that's how I view it. I mean, if, you know, if I post one video and one person's life gets better that day, then I'm good. That's about as far as I take it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because ultimately the only time I've ever been, my mindset ever goes in the trash is when I worry about what I deserve or what I'm going to get out of it. That's the only time it goes in the trash. And that's, I'm like, awesome. That's not yeah. good. Like, you need to get out of that. So to anybody that is newer, so you did a couple fix and flips. You went from teaching to commercial real estate. Where do you suggest somebody that's newer or somebody looking to scale up their investment? You know a lot about assets. You see the inside of a lot of assets. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear your take on, you know, just commercial investing. Do you see the scalability of that as kind of a better play for somebody if they can get into that realm?
Like any business, real estate is a business. Okay, it's an investment, but in the end of the day, it's a business. Like any business, if you surround yourself with the right people that are successful at it, that you can learn from, and partner with the right people, I think you're going to succeed. If you try to just tackle it on your own, try to figure it out, reinvent the wheel, it's going to be very difficult to do, to scale that. But I definitely think it's sustainable. There's tons of opportunities. There's no shortage of properties, no shortage of, obviously there's competition, but you know, with the right mindset and the right focus, and you have to be focused, you can succeed. And I personally, because I've seen such an incredible volume of properties and closings and deals come through, you know, me just from the aspect of cost segregation, again, because I'm looking at all these deals closing, I'm looking at all these properties, I'm watching from a bird's eye view in every market in the country, every asset type that's out there. I'm seeing all this happening. I'm watching people doing this. Like, listen, if they can do it, I can do it. And so that's really what's pushed me currently to kind of be shifting some of my time and energies into moving into that space, because everyone needs to create wealth. Everyone needs to have investments. Okay. So regardless of what you're doing, whether it's full-time or part-time, whether it's passive or active, you need to find those opportunities. And I think multifamily specifically, but real estate in general, is a great tool and great investment that should not be overlooked.
And that was going to be my next question. Are you investing currently yourself or not yet?
So that's exactly what I'm doing right now. So I had the first deal that I was a part of on a very minor scale, albeit, mm-hmm. but back in November in Atlanta, a multifamily property, 70 units. So that was the first like really hands-on experience that I had. And that's my goal is in 2021, moving forward, finding deals, trying to put together deals and partner with the right people to make it happen.
So I don't know if this is illegal or illegal, but I'm an outside of the box thinker. Could you forego your services, because you've seen the inside of so many deals, to underwrite and cost segregation a deal as part of your commitment to the deal? Is that an avenue to invest or no?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's funny because it's such a small amount, believe it or not. Like a cost segregation study itself is such a small sure. kind of piece of the puzzle. It's huge in terms of tax savings, but in terms of how much it costs to get it done, it's almost minuscule. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, you know, if that's my value add to a deal, you know, I'm happy to do so.
No, and it's great because what I was just talking about with the gentleman the other day is, I'm talked to people from all over the world, and there's a lot of communities that are financially illiterate would be the term, right? And so these conversations that we're having, you know, it's alarming to me. Like, I don't say you have to understand it, but to not even know that it's an option, right? Meaning infinite banking, overinflated life insurance policy, cost segregation. You know, the rich white A-head, you know, whatever, are the ones that are hoarding this information. And it's nice to be able to get in these communities and share these ideas of these vehicles to me. It's really probably one of the only things I care about. And one of my buddies who manages a ton of money for University of Texas, you know, we want to create, you know, a kids program for middle school and high school kids on these ideas, because all you need is the door to be cracked open just a bit where you get a new idea and then you can run with it. but you have to have the door cracked in the first, and these, why these conversations are so important, you know?
Absolutely. It's something that is missed in general education, and I never got it really. I mean, I had some, it wasn't something that was necessarily taught to me when I was growing up, financial literacy as I know it today. And it's something that I'm actively trying to help my own children with, because yeah, it's not taught in school, these kind of things. And you need to go out of your way. You need to have some extracurricular. Unfortunately, you have to go beyond the school system to make sure that you're educating yourself. But those who do are going to be the ones that are on top.
Dude, I'm so ridiculous. My buddy, my best friends, for Christmas, I gave all the kids Rich Kid, Poor Kid by Robert Kiyosaki. And I said, throw all your other gifts away. This is the only thing you need. And my buddy's like, man, you are on. He's like, you're trying to get him. I said, I'm trying to get you retired. That's what I'm trying to get you. Yeah. No, that's, it's awesome. Important.
That's awesome. Yeah. Kids don't know about it. And a book like that will help open their minds to possibilities and things that they never knew existed.
No, I love it. And so if people wanted to find out more about you, they wanted to get in contact with you on social media or find out about cost segregation for a property, how would they do that?
The best place to find me is on LinkedIn. You know, just very clearly, that's where I'm most active. You can definitely reach out to me there. You can go to yonaweiss.com. That's my website. That will take you, you know, beyond just LinkedIn and to all the other things we got going on. And our company, Madison Specs, happens to be the biggest national company doing cost segregation. So if you're ever interested in finding out if this is right for you, happy to have that conversation and do what we do, a free feasibility analysis for any property. So you can already know ahead of time at no cost to know if this is even going to be worth it.
No, I love it. And guys, if you like this episode, make sure you send it out to your friends. And we really hope you enjoyed listening.
Thank you for listening to Construct Your Life with Austin Linney. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and pay it forward by sharing with a friend. Most importantly, take this opportunity to start constructing your life by taking immediate action on what you learned. For show notes, resources, and more information on one-on-one coaching with Austin, visit ConstructYourLifePodcast.com.